cold enough for you? The pipes are not, they didn't freeze this week. I'm so thankful. The pipes didn't freeze. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for small miracles. You know, if life ended at today, or if the circumstances were expected to never change and just stay as they are, it would be a pretty miserable existence. It'd be a pretty miserable existence if there was no change or nothing to look forward to. And I want to tell you this morning, first I'll ask you, are you looking forward? Are you looking forward? Because I believe that God is. God is a forward-looking personality. God is forward-thinking. From the beginning, he had a plan. Back in the garden, in the very beginning, he made some declarations. He said, here's what's going to happen. Here's what's coming down the pike. Here's what's coming in the future. Throughout Scripture, he spoke of Messiah. He sent prophets with his heart and with an eye to the future who were always looking forward and speaking of that which was to come. Even now, he has a plan that's absolutely 100% geared towards the future. That's who God is. He's forward-looking, forward-thinking. Are you? Am I? Are we? Or do we just get stuck in the circumstances of today? Somehow we got it in our head that it was naughty to think about the future. We got it in our head, maybe because Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about these things that are coming. Concern yourself with today, and we should, and we do. But Jesus didn't say, don't think about the future. Don't consider the future. Somehow we took his admonition and got it twisted. He said, don't worry. Now, we should never be so forward-thinking that we sabotage the present. But if we don't consider, and as God does and as Jesus did, as we're going to see this morning, if we don't look forward, then we get bogged down, we get weighed down, we become weary, the Scripture says. Sometimes that fixation on the circumstances can be discouraging, and I really can't imagine life finishing like this, where we are under the circumstances. So you have permission, in fact, you're commanded in Scripture to look ahead. He says to be ready, to be on your guard. And as we look in Hebrews 12 this morning, he says, make straight paths for your feet. So I'm going to read that Scripture from Hebrews 12. If you want to turn there, I'm just going to read a few verses quickly. I know Kevin spoke from Hebrews last week and really got me digging into this, and we read some of these verses Tuesday night in our prayer time of prayer. But in the beginning of the chapter, reading from the New American Standard, it says, therefore, after chapter 11, where they talk about all these people of faith, and it says that God wanted something more than just what was accomplished in them, but he wanted them to be complete in us. God was looking forward to the day that we would be joined with these people of faith in chapter 11. In verse 12, or chapter 12 says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3, for consider him who's endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. And then some verses later, down in 12 and 13, therefore strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble, and make straight paths for your feet. Straight paths for your feet. You know, I'm going to read that actually in the Message. It has an interesting way. This one time, you're okay to use the Message translation, okay, guys? Just this one time. After that, let's get back to New American Standard. That's a joke, people. It's okay to read the Message. It's okay. It's okay. Everybody got serious. Wow. Must be some Message readers in here. Wow. Whoa. Take it easy. In the Message, Peterson translates it this way. Do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on, it means we better get on with it. Strip down, start running, and never quit. No extra spiritual fat or parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race that we're in. And study how he did it. Because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way, the cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor, right alongside God. And when you find yourself flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item, that long litany of hostility he plowed through, and that will shoot adrenaline into your souls. He began and he finished what he started. And it says here, study how he did it. Study how he did it. He never lost sight of where he was headed. He could put up with anything along the way. Now he's there and he's reached some of his goals, but guess what? God has a plan for the future that's not yet. God is looking forward. But Jesus made straight paths for his feet, as we're admonished to do there in verse 13. So I want to consider this for a minute. Make straight paths for your feet. Anybody shovel snow this weekend? Okay, both hands. Yes, yes. Shovel snow. Isn't it an amazing thing? Like, you know, you just get, you know, you warm up, you get all dressed up, you're ready in there, you start to, you know, you dig in, you shovel the snow. And what, maybe not you, but what I end up doing is I end up looking down here where I'm throwing the snow, right? You're looking down and you're going forward. And like, if you're not careful, all of a sudden I'll start to hit the grass on the side or like the curb or something that you can't see and you didn't know was there. And so all this time I'm looking down, okay, I'd hit the grass, okay, make adjustment. And then when I get back and I look and see where I've gone, it's like this kind of like zigzagging. Unfortunately, I worked way harder than I had to. If only I could have had a straight path. If I could have made a straight path for my feet, it would have been so much easier, so much less work. So I'm like, okay, so what do you do? What do you do to make a straight path? Well, you got to look at the circumstance where you are, where you're digging, where it's hard, where my back is hurting, all those things. You're looking at it, but how do you make it straight? You've got to look up and have a reference point in the future. You've got to look forward. You can't get so bogged down looking here at the circumstances. Guess what? So easily I get off track. So easily, it's a crooked path. The scripture says it's straight and it's narrow. That's the path that we're supposed to be on. There's no way you're going to be able to do it if we're only looking at the circumstances. So I have to look at the circumstance, and I have to look at the future. I have to see, am I aligned? Am I going in the right direction? Somehow Jesus was able to do that. Somehow he was empowered by his vision of what was to come. And he was able to make those straight paths for his feet. And it'll never be straight if I'm looking back. Can you imagine? How is it going to be straight if what's behind me has my attention? If what is behind me distracts me from where I'm trying to go? He says, run a race. That's an active thing that's ongoing. Every step, what's walking? Walking is controlled falling, right? You've heard this description before. Your body is literally off balance and you catch yourself before you take the next step. And the only way to walk straight is to be able to look forward. If you're looking down this way, you don't know where you're going. We get bogged down in the circumstances and get off the path. Get off the path. So he says, study how Jesus did it. How did Jesus do it? Paul had some advice. He said, this one thing I do, forgetting the things that are behind me. Forget that. And reaching forward to the things that are ahead. Do you see that? It's throughout Scripture when you start looking at it. It's throughout Scripture. He's forward thinking, forward looking. We get bogged down in the past and in the present. We have to live in the present, okay? This isn't at the expense of the present. This is so that our present is empowered to keep going, so that we don't get bogged down, so that we don't get off the path. Jesus was a man of vision, a man of purpose, a man of goals, a man of planning. It says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. He was always talking about the future. Do you ever think about this? Jesus said, I'm going to give my life at some point in the future, right? Not today. No. There's a time. There's at some point, okay? I'm going to reward every man. I'm going to come back. That's what he said, always thinking about the future. I'm going to rise from the dead. He told them beforehand, always planning. I'll be coming back. I won't leave you as orphans. He was always talking about his vision of the future and was therefore aligning his pathway with that place that he's going up there out in front. Sometimes we're tempted to give up. Have you ever wanted to give up? The clearer our vision and the more able we are to focus on what is to come as Jesus did, the more we will be willing to do in order to accomplish it. In fact, that verse says, he never lost sight of where he was headed, so he could put up with anything along the way. Do you feel like you could put up with anything along the way? I don't feel like I could put up with anything along the way. Maybe we could be empowered in the present to endure if we have our eyes looking forward, if we study how he did it. You know, Thomas Edison had to put up with a lot along the way to making the first, most effective incandescent lamp, light bulb. Other people had done it before, but they hadn't done it successfully the way he did. He had to put up with what we would think, what I would think, is failure and frustration and failure after failure. And he famously said, if I find 10,000 ways something won't work, I haven't failed. I'm not discouraged because every wrong attempt is discarded. It's discarded and it's another step forward. Many of life's failures are people who do not realize how close they were to success when they gave up. When we fix our eyes on the circumstances, we're beset with discouragement. We're beset with failure. But a clear vision will empower us to keep going. You know, and Kevin told us last week, this isn't a rah-rah speech after what Kevin said. You know, Kevin told us very clearly that just discipline isn't the answer. Like self-discipline and just trying harder isn't the answer. It isn't what's needed in this walk of faith. If trying harder would ever do anything to materialize a resource or manifest a strategy, maybe it would. But trying never manifests a strategy or materializes a resource. I want to look quickly at Mark chapter 6 and just an example. Of the disciples and Jesus, very famous, well-known occurrence there in Mark 6, verse 34. When Jesus went ashore, he saw a large crowd and he felt compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. When it was already quite late, his disciples came to him and said, "This place is desolate and it's already quite late. Send them away so they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered and said to them, "You give them something to eat." And they said, "Shall we go and spend 200 denarius, the equivalent of a day's wage, on bread and give them something to eat?" And he said, "How many loaves do you have? Go look." And when they found out, they said, "Five and two fish." And he commanded them all to sit down by groups on the green grass. They sat down in the groups of hundreds and fifties. And he took the five loaves and the two fish, and looking up toward heaven, he blessed the food and broke the loaves, and he kept giving them to the disciples to set before them. And he divided up the two fish among them. They all ate and were satisfied. They picked up 12 full baskets of the broken pieces and also of the fish. It seems to me in verse 35 that the disciples are trying, okay? They're trying harder. They're like, it's getting late, let's send them away. It's not like we can go to the store, and so they see our efforts aren't going to work here. The circumstances are all that they can see. But Jesus is looking forward. Jesus is looking forward. He's planning and he's doing. He's running the race that's set before him. Jesus has a goal, feed the people. And he makes a plan and he does it. He deploys the resources he has. He takes an inventory. Okay, what do we have to work with? Then he tells the disciples, okay, let's seat the people in groups. Why are they seating in groups? Because we're going to have a meal. He's got a plan. He's seeing what's going to happen, and then he acts in order to bring it about. You see that? He looks into the future to see what's out there, and he says, now what can I do to bring it about? What can I do to make it happen? The disciples only see the present. They only see the circumstance. This is overwhelming. We don't have food. What can we do? We should send them away. They're just like brainstorming. He's like, no. I have a plan. I can see where we're going, and now that's going to affect what we do in order to get there. So he looked up to heaven and he blessed and broke the loaves. You know, sometimes we mistake activity for accomplishment. We think that we just have to do something and that something good will result. Sometimes we don't realize that we're trying to serve meals that Jesus hasn't blessed. And here he is. Jesus thanks the Father. He blesses the Father for what he's provided. And he presents it to the Father. And then he breaks it. Are we about his business, or are we about just trying, or are we about looking at the circumstances? God doesn't need me. God wants me. Think about that. We're so needy as people, as humans. God doesn't need me. He's complete in his community, his Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But he desires for me to join him in that unity, in that community. Sometimes we busy ourselves with all kinds of work, but is it the thing that God has called us to? And is it blessed by the Lord? So he gave the loaves to the disciples to set before the people, but Jesus himself distributed the fish. That's pretty cool. Jesus himself, for thousands of people, is distributing the fish. So not only did he have vision and devise a plan, but he also worked to bring it about. He could see the future, and it empowered him to act in the present. And it was infinitely more effective than trying, or than fretting, or more effective than worrying. If trying never manifested a strategy or materialized a resource, neither did fretting, neither did hand-wringing. This isn't a time for us to wring our hands. This isn't a time to bring to be so consumed with the circumstances that we don't have a vision for what's to come. Because if we don't look forward, we're going to get off the path. It's going to be crooked, and it's going to be more work, and it's not going to be the way it's supposed to be. God's design isn't for us to fret and worry and wring our hands. His design is for us, like him, to be empowered by looking at what God's going to do in the future and then working out a plan and working towards reaching what we can see through him that is to come. So we're called to trust. Psalm 37:3 says, trust in the Lord and do good. It's not enough to simply trust God and expect things to happen. He says, trust in the Lord and do good. Cultivate faithfulness and dwell in the land. Okay, so there's some things we have to do. He says, run the race. All these verbs that are in Scripture. Run the race. Cultivate. Okay? Look forward. Fix your eyes. There's some things that we have to do. We have to do good. So if we want to drive straight, we have to look forward. If we want to walk straight, we'll let you grab that phone there, Paul. If you want to live right, look forward. We're called to trust and to work. Here's another thing, though. Working harder doesn't always mean you're going to accomplish more. Sometimes we need wisdom. We need wisdom. You can do more with a bulldozer than you can do with a shovel, right? And all of you that had snow blowers, your back feels a lot better than mine does right now, because I didn't have a snow blower, and all the shoveling and all the hard work and, oh, let's get some exercise, you're never going to accomplish as much as you would with a snow blower. So we have to trust and we have to work, but sometimes we have to work smarter and use the wisdom that God gave us. You know, there's one more scripture I want to look at, and it's a very well-known parable of the talents, where it says the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, each according to his own ability. And he went on his journey. This is Matthew 25, verse 15, 16. Immediately the one who had received 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more. In the same manner, the one who received 2 talents gained 2 more, but the one who received 1 talent went away and dug it in a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. The one who had received the 5 talents came and brought 5 more, saying, Master, you've entrusted to me 5 talents. See, I've gained 5 more. In verse 21, his master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. And then going down to verse 24, it says, the one who had received the 1 talent came up and said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed, and I was afraid. I was afraid. But his master replied, verse 26, you wicked, lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I do not sow and gather where I scattered no seed? This is what the kingdom of heaven is like. You are stewards of God's stuff. I'm a steward of what is God's. Whatever I have, God gave to me. And the master leaves and he says, listen, here's the stuff. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? God's provided. He's given to us. And guess what? He doesn't always give an explicit plan of what to do and how to do it. Many times, and you see this throughout the scripture, he provides a resource. We know what he wants us to do and where we're supposed to go, but we don't always know how to do it. And God leaves it up to you. How are you going to do it? What are you going to do with what he's given you? Well, it says here that one of the servants was afraid, and so he did nothing. He was bound by the circumstance. What am I going to do? What am I going to do with this? I know, well, I don't want to lose it, right? He's trying to protect what he has instead of being willing to take a risk with what the master's provided. If we think and plan and act, God says, you were faithful. If we say, I'm afraid, it's not an excuse. It's not an excuse for failing to think and plan and act. So I'll ask you again, what is it that you look forward to? Ultimately, we have an ultimate goal of the consummation of all things and being in the presence of God forever and eternity. But on the way, what's the plan that you want to put into place? What are you going to do with the resources that God has given you? Are we simply going to have our eyes on the circumstances and get bogged down and get off the path? Or are we going to make straight paths by keeping an eye to what's out there in front of us? What is it you want to accomplish? Do you want a successful family? You want to succeed in business? You want to be a better witness to the people around you? Well, you can do it. You can do it. You just have to have your eyes on what's ahead and not on the stuff that's around you and get so bogged down with all of it. In Isaiah 46, God says of himself, I'm declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things which have not been, saying my purpose will be established. You hear that? Will be. The future. Jesus had a meal plan and he put it into action. You know, Gideon had a battle plan. It was his idea. There was no divine word from heaven that told him what to do. And so he came up with this by the grace of God and what God had provided for him. He said, okay, let's divide into three companies. Let's get pitchers. Let's get torches. We'll do this. Everybody grab a trumpet. And guess what? God met him in that, a good and faithful servant who took the one or two talents that he'd given him and whittled his army down to 300 people from thousands and thousands to 300. God said, this is enough. Maybe it was just one talent. But he came up with a plan and he said, okay, I see victory in the future. What am I going to do in the present? How's that going to empower me to act in the present, to walk straight towards that future? Sometimes God does give a specific plan. He gave Solomon a very specific plan about the temple. But time and time again, we know that Jacob had a burial plan. He said, you know, take my bones from this place. And in some generation in the future, you guys are going to be free and you're not going to be in Egypt anymore. He had vision, and so he had a plan because of it. It's not unspiritual. In fact, it's deeply spiritual to plan and work to accomplish what God's put in your heart to do. It's in accomplishing the dreams that God has uniquely placed in our individual and collective souls that we simultaneously bring his kingdom about and walk out his will for our lives. We don't do it in our own strength. We do it with what he's provided, with our eye, study how Jesus did it, with an eye to the future, considering him, not taking our mind, not doing our own thing, using wisdom, not just working harder, not just trying. One commentator said it this way, the place where God calls you is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. If we lose the ability to see our dreams as a possibility, Tony Campolo said, then we settle into a routinized life devoid of joy. Is that any way to live life? Have no ability to see what's in the future and no plan to work and have a straight path toward what God's purpose is in your life? So don't settle. This isn't about making a New Year's resolution and trying harder. We have to have reverential submission to the Father and trust in the Lord and do good. And we have to make straight paths for our feet. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed, that exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way, the cross, shame, whatever. Now he's there in the place of honor, right alongside God. And when you find yourself flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item. That litany of hostility he plowed through. And that will shoot adrenaline into your veins. So this morning we're going to receive communion. And as we do, we reflect on and consider Christ and what he did, and study how he did it. Consider him, how he was able to endure for the joy that was set before him. So as we receive the elements this morning, and as we consider the circumstances and where we are, the scripture tells us to consider and to reflect in this time. It's a time to turn to the Lord. It's a time to search our hearts and consider. Let's also let it be a time to have an eye to the future for what God wants to do in your life, in your family, in this church, in this community. So if the ushers could help us distribute, and then we'll all receive together.